Hi, my name is Curtis Poe, better known to many folks online as Ovid, and I'm here to talk to you today about the programming language Raku. And before I go further, I do want to make one thing clear. This talk is not going to be a tutorial, because if it was a tutorial, there's actually a lot of cool stuff that it might be a little bit difficult to show you. And I want to get to some of the reasons why you might want to use this programming language. But I'm also not going to get into a lot of the advanced features. It's about a bunch of little nice things that is going to make your life better. It's why you would want to choose this language for the day-to-day work that you tend to do. Now, Raku was originally announced back around the year 2000, and it was going to be Perl 6. It was going to be the successor to Perl, this little example of Perl that I have up here on my slide right now. But Raku's not the successor for Perl. We've known for a long time that it can't be the successor to the language. So it got to the point where it was eventually decided we are going to rename the language. And today it's called Raku to make it clear that it is a separate language from Perl. And we like to call it a sister language. It's related to Perl in the way that, say, C# is related to Java. Take that as you will. Some of the concepts between the two languages are similar. If you're familiar with Perl, you'll already be familiar with a lot of the basics of Raku. But many of the things in Raku are cleaned up or approached from a different fashion in the Raku language in order to make them easier to use. But I want to focus on some of the really amazing things about the language that you're going to be using. And there's so many wonderful things about it. The type system is useful for humans, not just computers. That's the one that I'm really going to be paying attention to. The OO system for Raku is very powerful, and I absolutely adore it. It's got a working concurrency model, which for dynamic languages, for popular ones, pretty much doesn't exist. It's got infinite lazy lists, grammar, wonderful Unicode support, metaprogramming. So many things in there, and I'm not even going to go into all of them. I can't. I only have so much time for this talk, so I'm just going to cover some of the highlights. But one thing which is sometimes confusing for people, if they're looking up Raku online, they might stumble across things like this. This was one of the first examples of Raku I had seen in the wild. This was back when it was still called Perl 6, and it looks a little confusing. What is this? Well, it's a red-black tree. Who knows what a red-black tree is? I'm not going to go into a red-black tree right now. And it's the sort of thing where if I have to explain the benefits of this very powerful algorithm, then it's going to take me a while to actually get to the point of explaining why Raku is such a great way of expressing that, why it makes it native, or easy, sorry, to express that. And the reason I want to avoid stuff like that is this problem. I have a couple of friends of mine who are race car drivers, and they could explain to you in incredible detail every single nut, every single bolt, every single spring, anything on this image of this engine. They could tell you all about it. And most of us don't care. We just want to be able to drive the car. So that's what I want to focus on. A lot of the examples of Raku that I've seen out there are really great and powerful, but they do require a lot of background. Maybe they require some background in CompSci. Maybe they require some background in how the Raku language itself works, so you can show you this little bit extra of the language, which is powerful. And I don't want to go there. I want to show you a few of the basic things which are really powerful and will make your life easier and might make Raku the first choice of language for you instead of just another language which is out there. And we're going to start with math. And I mean basic math. We're going to keep this really simple. There's nothing complicated. Don't be scared just because it's math. 7 divided by 2. What's the answer to that? Don't think about computers. I don't want you to think about computers. I want you to think about an elementary school teacher. If an elementary school teacher asks you, what is 7 divided by 2? What is your answer? Well, she might turn to a student named Ruby and say, Ruby, what is 7 divided by 2? And Ruby says, 3. Wrong. Python. This is Python version 2. They fixed that in Python 3. It says 7 divided by 2 is 3. Tickle says it's 3. BC, a calculator tool, don't ask. It says that it's 3. So I've written one-liners in a whole bunch of different languages to find out what they think 7 divided by 2 is. And I wrote a one-liner in C. That's not actually easy to do. And you'll notice up here that I use %F. I'm I want a floating point number out of this. I don't want an integer, but it gives me a zero and a warning. So I go ahead and change that to a decimal. And now C tells me that 7 divided by 2 is 3. When you know that it's not, 7 divided by 2 is 3.5. I have had so many software developers,